This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Halliburton falls down. He looks hurt.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Thunder fans, feel this moment. The final chapter reads, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2025 NBA champions.
It doesn't feel real.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now I got a real one. Now nobody can say anything.
Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Eagles tackle Lane Johnson, creator and host of Somebody Feed Phil Rosenthal. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live in Los Angeles, California, fresh back from Fanatics Fest in New York City, where Overreaction Monday and No Contest Wrestling had live performances, if you will. And those are ready for you to take in. Overreaction Monday just posted. And Chris Brockman is about to join us in studio here because he is currently stuck in traffic. There's been a massive traffic jam here on the 405 today. Rich Eisen Show traffic and weather together on the ones to kick things off. Brockman's not sitting in his chair, but he will shortly. Good to see you today, Jay Felly. Good to see you, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Rich Eisen.
And good to see you, TJ Jefferson, fresh back from Fanatics Fest yourself. Good to see you, sir.
It took a while to get back, but it was an awesome experience.
Well, and we were all flying back from New York yesterday and making our way back to Los Angeles. We both got back here around midnight.
After midnight, we're going to let it all hang out.
Guess what? We're all sitting here today. Jay Billis is going to join us in about 18 minutes' time to give us his two cents and what he saw in Game 7 of the NBA Finals on Sunday night and then get us ready for the NBA draft right around the corner. That's what happens when the NBA Finals goes seven games. As soon as the season comes to a finish, clean up all of the confetti, hand out the trophy, and place it in a case, have a parade, and now hold a draft. And Jay Billis obviously is going to get us up to speed on all that. Kevin Durant is going to be right now a Houston Rocket. That happened at Fanatics Fest as well. So there's really lots to hit with Jay. Lane Johnson, a Super Bowl champion protector of Jalen Hurts, an MVP of his own right. He is going to be Lane on this program in hour number two. And then Phil Rosenthal will join us here on this program. The latest season of Somebody Feed Phil is streaming now exclusively on Netflix. It's the longest running original Netflix unscripted series. And we will ask Phil for his two cents on the story Ray Romano told here last year about him not being into the title called Everybody Loves Raymond, and he wanted it changed, and he was promised it would be changed after the pilot, and then it was a hit show, and Phil basically told Ray, we can't change it. So I can't wait to ask Phil his end of that story. We've got a great start bench cut food-wise, so the table's all set here on this program. Man, there's so many ways to go about the final game of the NBA season, and there's so many different ways to figure this thing out. From the Pacers' point of view, in a remarkable season where they had the second most wins in the NBA since the calendar turned to 2025 and had one of the most incredible runs of all time from beginning to end, with the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you saw what the Pacers did in the playoffs, all playoffs long, where nobody thought they could do it, and Tyrese Halliburton kept leading all these comebacks against the Bucks and the Cavs and the Knicks, and potentially on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Tyrese Halliburton's Achilles pops at the end of the first quarter after he scored not one, not two, but three three-pointers, and it looked like this was going to be a game seven for the ages between two teams that a lot of people thought weren't going to provide us an entertaining NBA Finals. And here we were for only the fifth game seven of this century. And Halliburton goes down, and you could tell right away.
Oh, that looks horrible.
Right away that this was his Achilles. We've seen it before in the finals with Kevin Durant, former Oklahoma City Thunder, who got traded to the Rockets earlier in the day. I mean, this is the sort of stuff you cannot make up and you don't ever want to see.
Yeah.
And then the game begins to unfold and the Pacers do Pacers things, like hanging in there and rallying and being resilient, which has been their mantra all playoffs long, and everybody's counting them out and they're right there to pull themselves back in. And it looks like this is going to be the ultimate edition of that Pacers story in the storybook, in the fabled storybook, because they took a 1-point lead into halftime after watching Tyrese Halliburton.
That was unbelievable.
Go down, and everybody knew it was their worst nightmare for him and his family with an Achilles pop. And then the third quarter hits. And the Oklahoma City Thunder team that won 68 games because they had the MVP of the league, because they had a defensive unit that had Gonzaga's Gumby right there in the middle, blocking shots, creating havoc, Lou Dort creating havoc, Alex Caruso creating havoc. You know, on occasion, maybe grabbing the wrist of a player and not having it called, but that's the sort
it's
of stuff,
man, you know,
that happens. One would think sometimes, and as well it shouldn't, but this team, Hartenstein and Jalen Williams, and all of them collectively together, coming out of the locker room after halftime, surviving a TJ McConnell flurry for the ages as well, coming off the bench, but creating the turnovers and turning them into points and winning that quarter 34-20, going on a 19-2 run that essentially ended it. And the Thunder that we have seen get built brick by brick showed up in the third quarter in front of their frenzied fans and put the bow on this thing. Yes, we can sit here and say the fourth quarter when they hit a dry spell, what would happen had Halliburton been out there? And we'll discuss the Halliburton stuff later on. But the Oklahoma City Thunder deserve their flowers separate from all of that. With a head coach that they took from their G League team in 2020 in Mark Daigneau. And building this team brick by brick, player by player, to form a championship team that came up with 68 regular season wins and 84 overall. That in front of their home fans especially, created so much havoc and so much defensive pressure to turn it into points on the other end, and then to have one of the greatest players of this century in terms of certainly what he's been building and certainly what he did this year in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you put it all together and you see a team that is totally grassroots, built from the ground up as a unit, as a team, as a championship squad that got it done in the 2024-2025 season to the tune of 84 wins, only the Jordan Bulls of the late 90s and the Golden State Warriors in their dynastic run had more wins combined on the year and together. I mean, they had a coach of the G League team, as I mentioned, the Oklahoma City Blue, a former Holy Cross assistant as their head coach, and a unit, a team, a roster built by Sam Presti, who came with the team from Seattle 17 years ago. And a team that once upon a time had a super team together based on who they drafted in Durant and Westbrook and Harden, and couldn't come up with a championship in the super team era. Now, taking parts that they built from Canada and the West Coast Conference in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Lou Dort, thanks to Canada, and the WCC Gonzaga's Chet Holmgren and Santa Clara's Jalen Williams, and they take Alex Caruso from the Lakers / Bulls, and they take Isaiah Hartenstein from the Clippers / Knicks, and they put it all together with their drafting, and maybe, just maybe, put a final nail in the coffin of the super team era and come up with a team, a squad, that has a breakout superstar at the top and a bunch of young stud players with a massive future in front of them, and the first parade in the nation's heartland for an NBA championship with 84 combined wins and their first title in the 17 years in Oklahoma City. Congratulations to those fans and that franchise. That's what I thought of when I was watching it last night. Gutting to see Halliburton go down.
Yeah.
Absolutely gutting to see that happen. I mean, the only thing I could think of with that, the Halliburton stuff. The Shining. You know how I keep mentioning The Shining every now and then here?
Danny?
Well, the Scatman Crothers character, the man who could shine with Danny, sees trouble in the state of Colorado from his spot in South Florida, and he makes a long, long, long journey. Long journey, an epic journey, a journey with purpose, a journey that nobody thought he could actually make. Finally gets inside the Overlook Hotel, and spoiler alert, within seconds gets an axe in the chest. And that's not exactly what you thought the end of the journey would be like. Didn't see it coming. You sensed foreboding because it had all the makings of a disastrous finish physically. We have seen how many Achilles injuries have we seen born out of a calf strain that you're wondering if somebody is coming back too soon from, or wondering if they're making the right move. And he makes not one, not two, but 3 3-pointers, and you're thinking, this is a Halliburton night. And then with 4:55 to go in that first quarter, done.
9 points in 7 minutes.
It's just absolutely gutting for a guy who did what he did over and over and over again. The personification of the resilience of this team, the never say die, never quit style of play, the pace that the Pacers would keep up for Rick Carlisle. And he goes down in a heap with 4:55 to go in the first quarter. And then SGA is the one to come out with a 29-12 assist, 5 rebound, 2 block, 1 turnover game, which is the Halliburton stat line, right? Fill up the stat sheet for yourself, your teammates, play an all-around game, don't turn it over. Instead, the Pacers are the one that turned it over, and the Thunder turned it into points. It was just absolutely gutting to watch Tyrese Haliburton go down. And I know a lot of people are thinking that that photograph on the screen there, where SGA is holding up the Larry O.B. in front of the Oklahoma City Thunder fans who were going nuts, that this photograph might not have happened had Haliburton been healthy, played the full game, his Achilles did not give way, and I understand that that's the 2 cents. But unfortunately, it did happen, and I think the Oklahoma City Thunder at the end of the day were just the better, deeper team, and I know that's not fair to say right now.
That's the Pacers fans. Bottom line right there, the best team won, period.
With the best player in the NBA this year. And we'll talk about the remarkable run SGA went on and the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder won the championship on the day that Kevin Durant got traded to his umpteenth team and learned about it at Fanatics Fest while he was on stage in New York. We'll talk about that. The draft is coming up in the NBA in just 2 days. Jay Billis is part of that broadcast. He will be joining us next from the airport. I believe he's making his way to New York City for that draft right now. We'll take a break. Chris Brockman, good to see you,
hey,
sir.
Good morning, guys.
You came in the middle of all of that.
How are you?
Good to see you. Glad you made it here today.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll talk about what's going on in the world of baseball as well. It's quite a weekend on that front.
I'm over baseball.
We'll talk about the Fanatics Fest as well. Jay Felly's smiling because Shohei Ohtani pitched only one inning again. Didn't matter. They still scored 11.
Good enough.
And I think Ohtani knocked in 5. Is that correct?
Yep.
Jeez.
Okay.
Baseball's over.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Jay Billis coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. With rising housing prices and steeper mortgage rates, we know home ownership may seem too expensive to be achievable. But that's why we offer a homebuyer's choice loan that can open the door to affordable home ownership. Our homebuyer's choice loan has no down payment options available, which means you don't need to wait years to save money. And with our no refi rate drop, you may be able to lower your rate in the future without refinancing. Plus, while most lenders require borrowers to purchase private mortgage insurance unless they can make a 20% down payment, we don't require PMI. Finally, we offer fixed payments, so your monthly payment will always be the same. So if you're looking for your first home or your next home, you can open the door with a Navy Federal Home Buyer's Choice Loan. Visit NavyFederal.org to learn how you can achieve home ownership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender. Loan subject to approval and eligibility requirements. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. If you're like me, then you are just not yourself when you get a bad night's sleep. Look, sleep plays an important, crucial role in recovery. We're all unique in what we need from our bed, too. That's where Sleep Number can step in. Sleep Number smart beds are the best beds for couples because you can individualize each side. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but we like our side of the bed the way that we like it. Being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out, too, for recovery, it's game-changing. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? I just told you, but I'll do it again. So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. The only bed that lets you make each side firmer or softer whenever you like. Your Sleep Number setting. And now it's the Sleep Number 4th of July sale. Save over $600 on the Sleep Number P5 King Smart Bed, the lowest price of the season. Limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See the store or sleepnumber.com for details. Hey, everybody. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. on the Roku channel. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, guys.
You thought about moving back east, I'm sure, behind the wheel of the car today.
Thought about it. I may not want to drive the rest of the week after this morning.
All good, but good to see you here.
Made it.
You got 2 cents on the finals? I know you're in
Yeah, I mean, kind of echoed what you guys said. Just heartbreaking and bummer and gutted for Tyrese. I'm just wondering, you know, kind of bigger picture when we look back on this season.
Yes.
You know, as historically great as the Thunder were, obviously MVP. I think he was a scoring champ and the finals MVP.
Yep.
SGA was. But are we going to remember the Thunder as champions, or are we going to think about, man, the Pacers, that was an epic playoffs and all the different games they played. Oh, and then Tyrese got hurt. Like, that's going to be the first thing you remember. And then you're like, oh, yeah, by the way, the Thunder won the title that year.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'll offer pushback on that. Okay. I think the Thunder, you've been talking about the Thunder all year, you know.
Historically, this
is a team that won 68 games.
Yeah.
And
their point differential and all the defensive metrics and all that stuff.
Right.
A great team.
And after Halliburton, you know, did the Halliburton thing in game one by jarring the game winner with 1 second to go.
They were still massive favorites.
You were saying that the city where Mo Green doesn't have a plaque or a signpost decided to keep the Thunder, the favorites.
Yeah, the odds never really flipped.
And then game seven was a toss-up after one quarter. Like, that's and then halftime, and we're up by one.
Yeah,
they just turned it over way too many times in the third quarter.
Yeah, I mean, the Thunder just took it over. Going. Yeah, the Thunder were awesome.
They just took it over, and T.J. McConnell did his best. You can't. That's the other point too, is that, you know, well, hey, we were missing Halliburton, and I of course they were, and what he meant. And Obi Toppin even said that he couldn't get it out of his head once it happened.
Yeah.
Right?
So obviously couldn't get going in the third either.
But so, in terms of the stat sheet, T.J. McConnell was a revelation in the third quarter. Yeah. Unbelievable. Jay Billis is back here on the Rich Eisen Show, kind enough to zoom in as he's making his way to the NBA draft, fresh off of the ABC and ESPN family of networks coverage of a remarkable season and postseason. Good to see you, Jay Billis. How are you, sir?
Great, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Your 2 cents after what you saw in Game 7? What are you left with? Your impression?
I was deflated, honestly, when Tyrese Halliburton got hurt. You could tell right away. You know, they can't say it on the air because they can't speculate. But he knew right away it was an Achilles. And that means he's going to be out for a year. And it just, took the wind out of you. And it clearly took the wind out of the game. Didn't mean that Oklahoma City wasn't going to win. Because I think they would have anyway, but that's just my thought. But it would have been, I thought it could have been an epic finish, an epic game, 7. So that was kind of sad. But Oklahoma City had an amazing year to win 68 games and then rip through the playoffs the way they did. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, when he got drafted number 11, you know, hands up all those that thought he was a future MVP and would do something that only kind of Jordan and Kareem have done. Going through the regular season and the playoffs, being MVP, leading scorer in the league, and then finals MVP. It was really remarkable.
Well, I think Jerry West was maybe one of them who, you know, back in the day when the Clippers had him, he loved him. I mean, he was talking about how stupendous he was, but you're right. I mean, in terms of what he has blossomed into and has grown into, I guess let's go here for the moment while we're touching on the subject. Certainly with the draft coming up in 2 days, and we talk always about when a draft hits, nature versus nurture. Do you think SGA could have become this had he stayed put here in Los Angeles? I know that's a large if here, and there's a lot of speculation, but do you think he was just in the right place at the right time to blossom into this, or he always had this within him, Jay?
You know, I think it's probably the latter, Rich, that he's the real deal. But, you know, that question gets asked in the college context sometimes, even with Steph Curry. They would say, you know, if you had gone to Duke or North Carolina, do you think this would have happened? And he says, I think I've heard him say no. Now, maybe I'm wrong on that. But, you know, Davidson gave him an opportunity where he could have the ball in his hands from day one and really blossom at that level, if you will. So it's the same kind of thing. I mean, fit is important and environment is important, but he's got the goods too. It's just that's the interesting part of the draft that we're headed into Wednesday and Thursday is I don't think this draft's going to be any different. We're going to look back on this in 5 years and we would redo it completely. And, you know, myself excluded, there are a lot of smart people looking at this stuff. And, you know, how many times can we say, all right, well, Jalen Brunson, who thought he was going to be clutch player of the year when he came out of Villanova? And there were some people that thought he might have a tough time sticking in the league. And SGA gets taken number 11. And, you know, you got Donovan Mitchell, middle of the draft of the first round. It's so hard to tell when they're 18, 19 years old. And I'm sure baseball has the same problem, but that's part of the fun of it is we have them slotted now. We think we know. We don't know. We just believe.
So what are you, just cycling back to the Thunder as a whole, Jay Billis, what's their secret sauce? What makes them so great? Obviously, they've got a great player in the MVP of the league, having one of the all-time great seasons, regular and playoffs combined. But what, as a whole, is the Oklahoma City secret sauce that you think everybody's going to try and copycat if they can, Jay?
Well, if they're going to copycat, they better do it with some patience and having some smart people like Sam Presti in charge. Like, I don't know how many people are talking about this, but I think they should. Sam Presti, if there's anybody better in the NBA at putting a team together and doing it with, obviously you have to have talent, but doing it with character. I mean, you know, that team is so well put together and they've got so many draft assets in the future that I think that's a franchise that can successfully deal with this second apron. You know, this is seven different champions in 7 years. And with the new collective bargaining agreement, it's going to be really hard to keep teams together when guys are commanding this much money. But with all the draft assets that Oklahoma City has, I think they're in the best position to navigate that and still remain up or near the top in the NBA. And look, every year this time we start talking about, well, could this be a dynasty? We talked about it last year when Boston won. And now the talk is, are they going to, you know, kind of tear that team apart because Jason Tatum got hurt and the payroll is going to be $500 million or whatever it is next year. But Oklahoma City is really well run. And the way they defend, you know, Indiana moves the ball really well. And they're an excellent passing team. And there were some possessions in the game last night where the ball start out on the right and whips around to the left. And you saw maniacal rotations and closeouts to take it away. You know, to get guys to play that hard together on the defensive end, and they did it all season long. It wasn't just they did it in game seven. They did it every single game. You know, they lost here and there, obviously. But I didn't see any team that played defense the way they did all year long. And that's kind of in their DNA. And the players they bring in, like, that's contagious, sort of the team concept of everybody defending to the fullest. I think that's in their DNA. And anybody they bring in, you know, they better buy into it or they're not going to be there that long.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to sum it up. That's why I love having you on, Jay. And we were just talking before, it's a mixture of Canada's finest and the West Coast Conference's finest, right? Just as a core, you know, it, and then they take a coach from their G League team, right? And then they take Hartenstein from the Knicks. They take Caruso, from the Bulls, and obviously he had a ring from the bubble with the Lakers, and the rest of their young team put it together, and they that third quarter I think encapsulated it, right, where SGA goes off offensively, Jalen Williams began to get his sea legs under him, and then defensively as a collective unit, certainly on the perimeter, and then if somebody gets beyond the perimeter, there's Holmgren underneath, just looming large. It's a really unbeatable combination, Jay.
All the pieces fit. All the pieces fit. To your point, like the players they've drafted and the players they've brought in, there's a we first mentality there, and you can tell just in the way they handled their interviews. Everything is so professional, and they really do seem. And you know, I'm not there, so I can't tell, but they really do seem to enjoy the success of each other. That it's not, you know, I just won the MVP, therefore look at me. Like SGA was throwing the spotlight on teammates. And even something as seemingly silly as when they do post-game interviews throughout the season, you know, they got basically the whole team behind the guy doing the interview. It may seem kind of corny, but, you know, that comes from the top. And then Mark Daigneault I met him when he was an assistant to Billy Donovan in Florida. And, you know, it wasn't like I was sitting there thinking, oh, there's a future coach of an NBA champion. But you're really impressed with how mature he was and how measured. And I like it him. I think he's like Brad Stevens, Rich. Like, he's the real thing. And talk about a guy who never gets too high or too low. He talks all the time about winning the off days. So they lose a game. You know, they're competitive. They want to win. They're disappointed. But they're not going to beat themselves up. They're going to find the solution and the adjustment for winning the next game. It's not about lamenting the, you know, what we did or didn't do in the last game. It's about putting ourselves in the position to win the next game. That's the way they look at it. And I think the team responds really positive to that. And Dignall and Sam Presti set the tone for it.
No, and I know you got to have stars in the NBA, and SGA is the MVP and a superstar. There's no doubt about what he has become, but I use that as a preface to ask you this question. Is the super team era dead in the NBA now, Jay? Is it over?
Well, I mean, it seems like it is, but everything's cyclical. I never saw the sort of, you know, three guys teaming up together when it kind of started in Miami, I guess, with the Heat, with LeBron, Bosh, and D. Wade. But I don't know that it's over. But what Oklahoma City is doing is hard to do because you have to have a plan and stick to it. And, you know, I mentioned the character piece, like your point about you have to have talent is exactly right. But there's nothing written anywhere that says you can't have talent with character. And they insist on the character part. And I was laughing about this the other day. You know, I've got all my scouting reports ready for the draft. And at certain points I have, you know, high character guys, stuff like that. And I remember when Bill Simmons was writing that column about the draft when he'd watch it with his dad or something like that. I had talked about a player being the ultimate character guy. And Simmons wrote, like, I thought that was Gandhi. And I'm like, well, Gandhi didn't have a jump shot. Like you wouldn't take only character, but you can have talent with character. And I think Oklahoma City has that. But while some teams are firing coaches left and right and all that stuff, you know, you're not seeing that with a franchise like Miami or with Oklahoma City. And they get pretty good results. And I happen to think that's the right way. Look, if you have somebody that you know isn't right, I'm part of the Jeremy Foley, the former AD at Florida. He used to say, what you will do eventually, you should do immediately. So if you think you're going to fire a guy the next year, go ahead and do it now. I understand that. But the way coaches get fired now, you're kind of going, is this part of a plan? Or are you just throwing darts, hoping you hit a bullseye at some point?
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show, making his way to the NBA draft, which is Wednesday night. You can catch that on the family of networks for ESPN and ABC and so much more. Do you like the Durant acquisition by the Rockets, who send Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th overall pick on Wednesday night, and 5 second-round choices to the Suns for Durant at age 37? What do you think, Jay Billis? What do you like?
I like it, but it's got to work in the next couple of years to sort of win a championship. You know, Kevin Durant's one of the greatest players to ever walk the planet, but he is 37 years old, and he's still incredibly effective. But you did give up a lot. You know, Jalen Green was the number two pick in the draft. He's a young budding star. And then Dylan Brooks provided a lot for Houston with toughness, his ability to knock down a perimeter shot. So it's not like they got Kevin Durant for nothing, but that was a team that struggled at times to shoot it. They're a great offensive rebounding team, really good defensively. So I think it was a huge upgrade on the offensive side, for the Rockets. And it puts them right up there in the West to be a contender. When you got a guy that can play ISO ball for you at times, like he can play in a team concept, he showed in Golden State, but when you need a shot, he can go get it. So I like it, but you know it's a 2-year thing. I mean, you know, I can't imagine all these guys are going to continue at the level they're at past 40. Maybe they do, but I don't think you can bank on it.
Jay Billis, before I let you go, your expectation for the first night of the draft? What are you expecting for that first round? The top? What's your 2 cents?
I think the draft starts at 3, that we're going to see Cooper Flagg go number 1. I can't imagine a scenario. I think there'll be a lot of trades on draft night, but I can't imagine that there's a scenario in which Dallas would trade Cooper Flagg. I just can't imagine it. He's the future of their franchise, and rightfully so. And I think Dylan Harper of Rutgers is likely to go too, whether San Antonio keeps the pick or not. But he'll go number two, and then it's wide open after that. There's some sort of differing views on Ace Bailey, a teammate of Harper's at Rutgers. He's ultra talented, but he comes with a little bit of risk, and he hasn't worked out for some of the teams. He hasn't worked out with Philly. And then it's a question of what do you do with when you get to, you know, 3, 4, 5, like you got Trey Johnson of Texas, Con Knipple of Duke and great shooters, and BJ Edgecombe of Baylor. These guys are all young guys. Edgecombe reminds me of like a 19-year-old Victor Oladipo, or maybe an 19-year-old Dwayne Wade. That doesn't mean he's going to reach those heights, but he certainly can. He's got the makeup to do that.
So who do you like as a, sleeper is just a silly word. Obviously we don't know, but who do you like? Who would you pound the table for and say, this guy doesn't have nearly as much heat on him as he should in this draft, Jay? Who do you like there?
You know, it's interesting. Like, I think the kid from Duke, Con Knipple, is really interesting. Like, I could see him going number three because he can really shoot it. He's probably the best standstill shooter in the draft. The best overall shooter, both, catch and shoot and off the dribble, is Trey Johnson, in my view. From Texas, and he's got a 6'10 wingspan. He's a fast twitch athlete. He's not an impactful defender just yet, but he's still only 19. But Knipple is he really shoots it. I mean, he's a 48% corner shooter, and he shot like 48% from the field, 41% from three, and 91% from the foul line. He's strong. He's not an NBA elite athlete. But when he gets in the lane, he plays off 2 feet. He's always around the ball, getting loose balls. He's tough. I can see Philly taking him at three because he can shoot it. But there are a number of options they have there. I'll be interested to see what happens with Ace Bailey. I'm not sure I would have counseled him taking this approach to the draft as far as the way he conducted the workouts and didn't go to certain places and decided not to show what he had. He could go anywhere from 3 to 8. But he's ultra talented, and he's one of those guys where teams are going, well, if we take him and it doesn't work out, we get fired. And if we don't take him and he turns out to be all that, we get fired. So there are going to be some tough decisions kind of 3 through 8.
Jay, you're the man. Go fly safe and have a great draft. And so what's your plan? Are you a first on a plane guy? Do you reading material? Do you have a show downloaded? Like what's the Jay Billis flying approach? What is that?
During the season I work, I do like to get on the plane first just to get my bag in the overhead. But actually right now I'm in Maine. So I'm going Maine to New York, and people actually think I'm up here to find Cooper Flagg, but he's actually in Durham right now. But you probably see behind me, there's
yes,
there's a big lobster tank at the airport. So it's pretty impressive stuff. It was really difficult. I was up here for a charity golf tournament.
Well, of course you were.
It's called Drive for Kids, which I think I can rename Three Putt for Kids. the Dempsey Center and the Barbara Bush Hospital. And the people in Maine are really nice. But I got a lot of Cooper Flagg questions. I think I have to have a sign around my neck and say, only Cooper Flagg questions after the round is over.
Okay. Very good. Like quiet, please, in one arm, and then no Cooper Flagg questions until after the... I'll see you in Tahoe, if not before, Jay. Thanks for the time, brother. You're the man.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, brother.
One and only Jay Billis. Yeah,
the Maine airport is really great. Really small, homie.
Wouldn't that be aggressive to get a lobster to go and bring that on the plane? That's aggressive.
Rich, I can honestly say I've seen a lot of stuff in this lifetime. I've never seen somebody eat a lobster on a plane.
Emotional support lobster.
Emotional support lobster.
Bring the thing live.
An emotional support lobster.
Just a full-on lobster.
A full-on lobster.
An ESL.
Bucket list.
Love it. I mean, I worked on a lobster boat.
Yeah.
That would just be aggressive.
He had a beard and everything back then.
What's that smell?
Not a great smell.
You know what I mean?
Not a great smell with the lobsters. Yeah.
We're going to take a break, and I want to linger a little bit on SGA and what he's accomplished and what we just saw. I think we just got to put it all in perspective because it's unbelievable. Let's talk about coffee, people. If you're like me, your day cannot begin until you've had your first cup. Whether you're gearing up for back-to-back meetings, shuttling kids back and forth to activities, tackling an endless to-do list, your morning sets the tone for it all, and the perfect cup of coffee sets that tone, crafted just for you. Enter Trade. Trade is my number one U.S. coffee destination, bringing you fresh coffee from over 50 of the country's top roasters. Trade's experts have taste-tested thousands of coffees to curate over 450 amazing roasts. Just take their quiz, and under a minute, they'll match you with your perfect coffee. If that first bag isn't quite right, Trade will replace it for free until they nail it. And if you're headed out on summer vacation with Trade's subscription flexibility, you can pause or shift delivery while you're away and resume when you're home, ensuring you'll come home to great coffee, iced coffee too. So, right now, Trade is exclusively offering our listeners 50% off your one-month trial at drinktrade.com/Eisen. That's drinktrade, TRADE.com/Eisen for 50% off your one-month trial. drinktrade.com/Eisen. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. We have four fictional characters, basketball characters, that we're wondering who would make the best NBA draft prospect. First up is the point guard from the Venice Beach Locals, Sydney Dean.
Great handle, somewhat of a trash talker, a little bit of a gym rat, but really hustles out on the floor.
Yes, right.
As a blacktop, really. He's not yet played an indoor game. It's all been outdoors. Mm. So, you know, his jump shot may be pushed by the wind to go in or to go out. We'll see, you know, how he does in an indoor game. He is undersized and tends to over dribble a little bit. And he also tends to hustle in a negative fashion. But he has played against quality competition, including Freeman Williams, Nigel Miguel, who played at UCLA, Marcus Johnson was in that movie, and then Gary Moeller, who played at UC Santa Barbara, whose dad pitched for the Dodgers, Joe Moeller.
Next up is from Hickory High School, shooting guard Jimmy Chitwood.
Jimmy Chitwood, spot-up shooter, tends to demand the ball, especially in huddles. He'll make his teammates better, although not particularly supportive of Ollie when he took that free throw, those free throws at the end of the game, the underhanded free throws against Cedar Knob was the opponent. And who doesn't enjoy saying Cedar Knob on national radio? The problem, he's not always motivated, and Jimmy Chitwood tends to get a little chummy with the alumni. And I think a little questionable relationship with his teacher, Barbara Hershey.
Wow.
I think
that's a red flag.
I liken him to Klay Thompson without the defense.
Okay. Next up, another high schooler from Carver High. Center Warren Coolidge.
Physically imposing, rebounds at a high level, was coached by an NBA player, Ken Reeves, who had a wonderful fictional career with the Chicago Bulls before getting injured.
Yeah, that was tough.
A fantastic locker room singing voice. and reminds you a lot of Ben Wallace with sort of a Barry White voice. The problem is, you know, tends to be a little unmotivated.
Yep.
And wasn't necessarily the best player on that show. Wolf Perry was on that show, who played at Stanford. And then you may not know this, but Jay Billis was once on that show.
All right, last one for you. This is he plays tons of positions, guard, forward, and center from Beacon Hills High School. Teen Wolf, Jay, what do you think about his abilities?
Teen
here?
Wolf, whose name in the film was Scott Howard, when he wasn't a wolf. Great vertical leap, plays above the rim. I think you could refer to him literally and figuratively as a beast. Only 5'3", but plays much bigger.
Yep.
The problem is he comes from a small town in Nebraska, so he'd have to cut family ties. And then he's occasionally violent, although his hair is perfect.
Ah, yes, our friend Jay Billis, everybody. Always fun when he joins our program.
His hair is perfect.
We had a fun there. I stay serious with Jay quite a bit. I just like his information is too good to just screw around whenever he comes on the program.
Some people are screw around people, and you know? He's not.
So, what an unbelievable night that was last night. An unbelievable weekend at the Fanatics Fest in New York City for all of us. Or when I say all of us, I mean you, Chris, and me, and Overreaction Monday, that's now out. I think No Contest Wrestling will drop later on today. You, O'Shea, and Rey Mysterio, right? Correct?
Yeah, we're actually, I think we're going to save Rey for later in the week.
Oh.
Zooming live, we've got Naomi.
Okay, so that'll be today. Awesome. Later on today, No Contest Wrestling is dropping. Overreaction Monday is already dropped, all from Fanatics Fest, which we'll talk about. So were you watching the game from the flight? Is that where you were watching the game?
Yeah, trying to. It was going in and out, but yeah.
And you were already home?
No. We were watching. I think we got home. We were also delayed, not as bad as TJ, but we watched about the first half on the plane.
Okay. And I was watching on a plane as well. You know, unreal watching the Halliburton stuff, and then watching Shea Gilgeous Alexander do his stuff. Listen, I know there's lots going around, certainly around here in LA. Boy, the Clippers blew it. Boy, you know, the Charlotte Hornets drafted him. Jerry West loved SGA, and you know, he was with the Clippers organization after he was with the Lakers, and also with Charlotte as well, if I'm not mistaken.
And Memphis.
Memphis, right? Oh, yeah, Memphis, right. At any rate, long story short is, listen, I'll just say this before we get into what SGA has become. Clippers had to go get Kawhi. It was that simple. Kawhi was in play, winning a title. The Lakers had LeBron fresh here in Los Angeles. The Clippers could get Kawhi. They're going to go get Kawhi. Unfortunately for them, Kawhi's a much better player and future Hall of Famer than a general manager.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who said, I want Paul George, get me Paul George. Sam Presti, I guess, knew that and said, we will take Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and a whole host of first-round picks, one of which they're going to use on Wednesday night. And another one they used in 2012 to take Jalen Williams.
So what 2022,
pardon me, in 2022
yeah.
to take Jalen Williams. And that was Jalen Williams in the with the 12th overall pick. They used the second overall pick of their own to take Chet Holmgren. Nice draft. And when they got Shea Gilgeous-Alexander from the Clippers in 2019, they also snagged an undrafted free agent named Lu Dort. And listen, we just talked about it with Jay Billis. Would he have become the SGA that he is today in Los Angeles? We don't know. But all we know is what he has become right now.
I'm thinking, yes, he would have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think anything was going to stop that.
As the Clipper fan and you? But I'm what you're seeing on the screen there, okay. what he has done, I wrote down most of the accomplishments here in my book. If I hold it up for you right here, it fills up the entire page.
It's a lot of writing.
Of what he did this year. This year. 212 points in the finals. That's the most since LeBron in 2015. His regular season scoring title, average of 32.7 points per game. That is the most in a title-winning season ever. A hair better than Michael Jordan's 32.6 points per game in the 92-93 season. He won the scoring title, the MVP, the Western Conference Finals MVP, the Finals MVP, and he won the title. He's the fourth ever to win the scoring title, the Most Valuable Player Award, and the NBA Finals in the same season. The others are named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 71, Shaquille O'Neal in 2000. And before that, Michael Jordan did it four times, 91, 92, 96, and then the 97-98 season. He's the first player in 25 years to win the MVP scoring title and Finals MVP in the same season. His 3,172 points in the regular season and playoffs combined, that's the most since Jordan in 98. You're going to hear Jordan's name a lot.
He was really good.
Kids. 68 regular season wins for the Thunder, as we know. It's the second most by a team that also featured the MVP and the Finals MVP behind Michael Jordan's 72 in 1996. Shaquille O'Neal of 2000, Jordan of 92, Larry Bird of 84, all had 67 total regular season wins. The only person with more regular season wins to win the MVP and Finals MVP is Michael Jordan. By the way, LeBron had 66 wins, and Kareem had 66 wins when they did that MVP and Finals MVP in 2013 and 1971, respectively. The 84 total wins or more, and you win the Finals MVP and MVP. Only Michael Jordan has more than that. In terms of winning the MVP, Finals MVP, and the title in the same year, you want to hear the names of those players?
I would.
Willis Reed, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Tim Duncan, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And there could be more to come. Because, think of this. He's the first to win the MVP and the title in the same season. Okay? Since Steph Curry did it in 2014 and 2015. That's the last guy to win the MVP of the regular season and then the title in the same season. After Curry did that, he made the final five more times in 8 years. 7 years, pardon me. That was the beginning of making six finals in 8 years and the first of four championships. Obviously, lots more were added, including former Thunder Kevin Durant. Let's not forget, he's the one who left the Thunder to join the Warriors. If you can't beat him, join him situation. But SGA, man, let's hear from him after the championship run here.
It's hard to believe that I'm part of that group. It's hard to even fathom that I'm that type of basketball player sometimes. As a kid, you dream, and every kid dreams, but you don't ever really know if it's gonna come true. And I'm just glad and happy that my dreams have been able to come true. And that's a thank you to everyone that's been in my corner that's helped me get here. I wouldn't be able to done without them. They know exactly who they are. It's a win for the family.
First Canadian-born player to win Finals MVP. He's the first to do all of that, everything that I just said here. And a pretty impressive individual. He was the one who went over to Halliburton when Halliburton was on the floor.
Okay.
As well.
I'd missed all that. You guys had texted and told me.
I mean, there were a couple of Thunder players that went to sort of stand around him. But the first one to go over and just get down on the floor to talk to him and see what was going on was SGA. And then in terms of one for the family, I mean, the NBA sent out this video. I mean, you want to talk about wholesome. There's his wife, Haley, and his young baby, Aries, was born last year with the trophies. Just hanging out. By the way, hell of a Sears photo background right there, right?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
All right, and look at the little baby.
I mean,
those trophies.
Are they at Sears? Are they at an NBA championship photo shoot? I don't know.
How about them apples? I mean, as wholesome as it gets as a beautiful family and face forward individual that you would want. It's a dream come true. A dream come true. And he's building a legacy, man. He will never have to pay for a meal in Oklahoma City ever again. That we already know. And, you know, he etches his name. I'm looking here. Willis Reed, Kareem, Moses, Bird, Magic, MJ, Hakeem, Shaquille O'Neal, LeBron James, Tim Duncan, and him as the only players to win MVP, Finals MVP, and a title, right? In the same season, right? There. And I guess Curry didn't do it because was Iguodala the MVP?
Iguodala was MVP, okay. Yeah.
Right, that's why Curry's not on this list. MVP, right, yeah. Right, Finals MVP. Yeah. And Kentucky Wildcats have sent a ton of great players to the next level.
It's
and
ridiculous.
He's kind of, he's putting himself in the mix of the best ever, right?
Ooh. That's such, I mean, a, just that's such an extensive list. I'm going to have to Google
it. I got it. There's, is there another Kentucky Wildcat on that list of names I just mentioned?
There is not.
There's not.
There's not. No. So,
man, oh man.
There's
oh
a lot
man.
Of talent came from there.
SGA, one of the greatest seasons ever. Ever. And it's possible he's just getting started because this team is young and has a massive amount of capital to build around SGA and the rest of this championship Thunder team.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
Inside the opening 45 seconds. What a goal! With that cannon of a left foot.
All even at one.
Never miss a game.
What a start for the United States.
Shot from distance. What a goal!
Never miss a moment.
Exquisite from the San Diegan.
Can he finish? Yes, he can!
Yeah! The U.S. Soccer Podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.